Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hello, welcome everyone. We are glad to have you with us for another episode of Bank Marketing Show. Very excited about our guest today. And with all of you in the bank and marketing world, this is going to be a really valuable one for you. So grab your pencil and hold on. And Dan and I, there you go. Dan and I are excited about this one. So Dan, let me pass it off to you and introduce our guest.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And welcome Alana Levine to the show. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so Alana, you're a CRO and a founding member of Fintel Connect. I know we were chatting before we hit record here. We've crossed paths at ABA Bank Marketing and some other places. Know a few members of your team, and it's great. You guys are doing great stuff, and excited to have you on the show today. So Fintel Connect does, and you know, feel free to. I'll give you a chance to add some color to it, but. You know, talk a few members of your team around just helping banks with kind of influencer affiliate marketing. And, you know, we're going to talk a bit today about digital advertising and tracking and finding the ROI. So I know for a lot of our listeners and our clients and Chris and I's agencies, it's a big topic, right? Of doing more digital advertising, but how do we, you know, get budget approved if we can't track ROI? Well, like you can. So we're going to talk about some ways banks can do that. And, you know, excited to get into it. So Alana, if you want to start, tell us a little about your experience, how long you've been, you know, working with banks. Tell us a little bit about the journey of Fintel Connect up to today.
Sure. I'll try and keep it short and sweet so we can get to the good stuff. But we've actually been in the acquisition marketing side of things, which is where affiliate and influencer marketing really play, for a number of years now. A big bank in Canada actually was our first client almost 10 years ago. And we really, that was our first foray into understanding a lot of the major friction points that financial institutions face when looking at growing online, when looking at being able to measure attribution from a compliance standpoint, all of the roadblocks that end up coming into place that prevent them from being able to really capitalize on digital. And so we ended up rebuilding our technology and really looking at specializing in this space to help basically any financial brand grow online. Really where the business started, Dan, to your point, was on the affiliate space. Affiliate marketing is actually 40% of the acquisition funnel for a lot of the brands in market. And it's because it's where people do their research online. It's a very big decision for them when it comes to, you know, first-time homebuyers buying their first home and doing their research. And they go to these kind of different third-party sites. But, you know, we participated in the ICBA's accelerator program in 2020, and it really opened our eyes and helped us get more exposure into the community regional institutions and where they are on their digital journeys. And to what, for us, was the means to the end with being able to track campaigns. Because in affiliate marketing, it's very referral-based. It's based on results. Affiliates get paid a commission if someone successfully opens an account. In order to do that attribution, you need to be able to track that journey. Mm-hmm. What we realized is that's actually something a lot of institutions can't do. So we ended up evolving some of our products to help banks just getting started and implementing things like digital account opening and loan origination systems online to be able to better map that journey and be able to track real value. So that's really, I guess, how we get to be here today. Now we have, you know, 90 clients that we're working with, from very large institutions down to kind of scrappy fintechs and really anywhere in between.
That's great. And they, on the digital tracking front, I mean, talk a little about when, you know, when we say tracking, or we say like prove the ROI of your digital ads. Why don't we start there? Like, kind of define how you think about that. Like, you know, what are we really talking about? Like, what information are you getting back? What goes in? You know, what all goes into calculating ROI on digital campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's comes down to how do you know that the customers that you're generating or the new revenue that your institution is seeing, how do you know where it's come from? And how do you actually optimize what you're doing and the efforts that you're putting in, time, resources, money to actually deliver you more of the types of customers that you're looking for? Very often in marketing, we look at, we'll use Hunter's term analytics, but you look at those vanity metrics like likes and views and impressions. And a lot of times those are very awareness-based metrics. But when I talk about tracking, I look at more of the lower funnel conversion-based metrics on real revenue generation as opposed to just visibility and what most people look at when they think of marketing as those kind of upper funnel metrics. So it's really about tracking full funnel from what's happening in the ether with your marketing campaigns, maybe what agencies are doing. And agencies want to be able to prove out that what budget you're giving them is actually delivering real impact. And so, this is something that they also want so that, they can demonstrate their value. But seeing what's happening in the ether, then what happens within your bank ecosystem and your own systems, so your website, maybe your mobile banking app. But then the real challenge is when they enter and hit that apply now button, you want to be able to follow them and say, hey, okay, this Google ad campaign that I just ran landed them on this landing page on our website. They've now clicked that apply now button. They've now gone through the funnel and submitted. And not only that, they've been approved for the account. And then 6 months down the track, they actually have opted in for another product. They're still actively using the account. I want more of those people. Yeah. And it came from that Google ad. Cool. And now I'm going to do more with that channel. So that's what I mean by tracking.
So Alana, you make such great points. And that's what old school traditional marketing can't do and what digital can do is track that entire funnel process, right? So that's part of the beauty of it. Other parts of it are the targeting and within compliance and all of those things as well. So there probably are a lot of our listeners that are our, locally based community banks that are going, okay, well, I know I've got to get into this realm, or we've dipped our toe a little bit, but we don't really know, where this can go for us and what our opportunities are. And we need to convince our C-suite and our board that we need to, put some spend into these categories in digital advertising, and it needs to work. So we want them to turn the fax machine off, move over here, and let's get into, modern marketing, right? So what are some of your thoughts, experience, recommendations around getting into this? So again, a small community bank, maybe we're trying this or realize that we need to, what are some initial steps? And maybe what are some of those even emotional and fear-based barriers to getting into it?
Yeah, great question. It comes down to, I'd say, first and foremost, having a really clear goal and understanding the business objectives. So is there a motivation to want to move into the digital space? And I always talk about having a really strong digital foundation. For some institutions, that might be having a lead gen form that then goes to, the loan officers that then get into contact with them. In other cases, institutions are investing in technologies to create more of a streamlined funnel. Now we're saying, digital account opening is not a nice to have. It needs to be there, or you're missing out. And that those things need to be in place. But that's a business decision at the executive level to understand where do they see their institution going and how far do they actually want to take it. Once you define those goals and you get really clear on it, then you kind of got to lay the pieces of the puzzle out on what do you have accessible to you from a budget standpoint, from a technical architecture standpoint, from a resources standpoint in terms of external agencies or partners that they can lean into. It's looking at what do you have available to you and then almost setting a goal and working back from that so that you're focusing on things that you can, like baby steps and bite-sized chunks that you can tackle that you know are working you towards that goal. So an example would be if you know that you have just overhauled your website, and you've got a great kind of experience and landing page, and you've just implemented account opening. The first things first is you're going to want to make sure that you have your Google Analytics set up. look at the things that are free. What resources do you have available to you, or who can you lean into to get that set up? Then you want to look at, okay, your third party suppliers that are providing your account opening. What do they have available? What questions can you ask them of what they already make available to you that you can use? And then again, working towards those goals, you start to put together a map of how am I going to measure this? And then what are the key things I'm kind of willing to experiment or where I feel comfortable with? And what are the almost like the guardrails? So maybe limiting budget, but then having a clear expectation of what you want it to return for you. And it becomes then experimentation from there. But to summarize, I think it starts with having a really clear goal, and it has to align with the end business objectives. And then from a marketing standpoint, making sure you have that foundational pieces in place before you even take that first step to spend online.
It's amazing sometimes how non-all-day, everyday marketing people don't understand that it's strategy first, then implementation. It's goal sets first, then implementation, not, you know, don't worry about how the display ads are going to look. We're going to get to that. You know, you want the right kind of image in the background. We'll get there. First, let's talk about how, where, why, what are your returns? What are your expectations? And then messaging, goal sets, character, all of those things will then come from that. Yeah, great points.
Exactly. Yeah. And being able to isolate at what stage things are working or not working. So when it comes to the strategy, is it the ad? Is it the messaging? Is it the audience you're targeting? Are you reaching the right audiences? But then it's maybe they're really liking it. They're clicking through, but they're not actually engaging. And is it the way your website is set up? How do you isolate if they're not then clicking that apply now button? Can they not find it? Is the messaging not clear? Is the website distracting? Do they apply, but then, you know, the application funnel is too confusing? Where are they dropping off? All of those things are, it's almost like, yeah, mapping it out. And then
side story. We just built a landing page for one of our clients, and we put call to actions at a couple different spots going down this real long landing page, and their compliance reviewed it. They said, well, why does this button on there five times? I'm like, because we want people to click it. We want them to go through the process. So you've got to put it, you know, the way that people clicking ads and doing Google searches absorb information is much different than the way like a compliance team or a bank exec may absorb it going through. And so like this tracking and thinking through that whole process is super important. I mean, there's little things in these kind of, you know, becoming a customer journeys, like make big differences. If you ask a question that's just slightly too annoying on your application, or you do it too early, you know, if the first question you ask for is social security number, people might just drop out like, oh, I'm not ready for that yet. And, you know, it might not have anything to do with your ads. It might not have anything to do with what you're spending, but it's so important.
Like if they've made it to your landing page that you've built, they have intent. They're interested. Yeah. They're clearly wanting to learn more. Don't make them guess for where they need to go next. You need to make it super obvious. But it's how I always liken it to how they build out their branches. When there's a huge strategy to how people structure their branches and the experience. People know where they need to line up. They know where the teller desk is. Web is actually no different.
Yeah.
So I'm laughing at that question because you don't want to it's not offensive.
That's my other favorite like metaphor is like the bank that spends $1 million on a brick and mortar branch and then, you know, balks at like a $3,000 a month brand awareness campaign. And it's just like you
Chris
need
is putting like his hands to the air, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris is doing a dance. If you're
yeah, these are the agency conversations that we have with our bank clients regularly. You know, yeah, what do you mean $3,000 a month? It's like, yeah, you just added on to the drive-through and spent $600,000 to add a lane,
$100,000 ATM or whatever.
Yeah, right? I mean, okay, yeah.
It actually brings a good point, though, Dan, not to derail the conversation, but around compliance. I often recommend, especially on the affiliate and influencer piece, get your compliance teams involved sooner than later. Let them be part of the process. They exist and serve a purpose for a reason. And if you're a marketing person and you're wanting to experiment or do something new, the sooner you get them involved proactively, the more likely then that you'll get their comfort, you'll get their sign off, and they can be a proactive part of the solution rather than a barrier.
Yeah.
Great point.
Well, and I think, you know, playing off like the investment and, you know, getting everybody involved throughout the whole cycle, like, you know, unlike a lot of other businesses, like, yes, like the goal of bank ads is like drive, you know, you want to drive online applications open, online application opening, but if people come into the branch because of an ad, you're just as happy, right? And it can take months for people to make banking decisions, right? You may start researching when you're thinking of buying a house just to figure out what works and land on one of the affiliate sites, something like that. But there's a lot that goes into it more than just buying a t-shirt, like on an e-commerce site. So how do you think, you know, you mentioned a couple of things earlier about just following them through the process, but like what else goes into the ROI? Like what are the kind of the most popular, you know, metrics for banks to look at as they're running digital ads? What are they trying to, you know, where are they trying to move the needle?
So let's keep it simple and let's focus on, let's say the goal, you know, right now everybody's focus is on generating deposits and they want to do it efficiently and as cheaply as possible, but also getting those right accounts. And then they want to be able to retain those accounts. Yeah. So let's focus on, let's say, generating a new certificate of deposit customer. One of the first things that we look at is click to application. So how many people that have clicked through have actually submitted an application. So they've clearly seen an ad or they've seen information about your product that's gotten their interest, but then have they bothered to make it through the application funnel? So that's allowing you to see, okay, is what you're offering attractive? Does it align to them? And then how easy is it for them to actually apply? And is there a drop off at that point? So if the click to application metric is really low, then that generally means they have intent, they think your offer is interesting, they've hit that apply now button, but they actually haven't finished submitting the application and you need to then dive deeper into that. The next metric we typically look at is application to approval, or what we call approval rate. So that's a quality metric. Is people who are actually interested in your product, they bother to apply, are they getting approved for the product? And usually that has to do with, are you targeting the right geo? Are you, do they meet the KYC AML criteria? Are there things that you're not collecting or are difficult for you to collect in the application process that then they're missing and so they're not getting approved? It's what creates expense for this experience. And it also creates friction for potential audiences when you create turned opportunities. So that approval rate is really important for us. And a lot of times what we measure, especially because we're the type of marketing we do, is about results. So we want to make sure that traffic that's being sent from an affiliate partner of ours is most likely to convert. And we want to create the best experience possible for that customer. But the biggest thing I think, and this is, I would love to get both of your thoughts, Chris and Dan, on this. The thing that shocks me the most of what they don't actually measure or know is what their target cost of acquisition is. I often, when we say we want to do affiliate marketing, we're really excited about it. And I say, okay, great. Do you have an idea in mind of what that acquisition cost is? What are you seeing in other channels? Well, yeah, we don't. Yeah. And I say, okay, well, we can tell you what the marketplace averages are and here's the variables that impact that. And at the same time, it's very specific to each institution because it's a ratio. It's how much you're willing to spend versus how much you're going to make off of that account or that product or that relationship. So I don't know if you guys see that as well, but.
Well, yeah, it's very different for a deposit account than it is for a mortgage, you know, or whatever the case may be too, as you do those. So you have to morph those numbers into a cost of acquisition that's fitting to the product as well, which again is all a whole different set of discussions outside of branding, you know, and brand growth, right? So, yeah.
Well, and I think it gets to a sort of related thing is like just, you know, a bank knowing their customer lifetime value and having a sense of which customers are the ones that lead to the most lifetime value, right? On the loan side, it might be some banks may be better at, you know, approving certain types of mortgages or, you know, want to really focus on SBA loans or focus on, you know, property development. That you might have your specialty. On the deposit side, it's a lot of, let's just get money in. But, you know, there's a big difference in, you know, if you get a big depositor in, you know, you're going to save yourself from having a lot of little depositors in. And the little depositors may come in because of an offer. And then, you know, you've got to work on onboarding, work on, you know, preventing them from leaving after they get the $300. And, you know, but I think, you know, if a bank has a sense of that lifetime value, they can easily tell you, target acquisition cost. They can say like, well, on average, you know, we'll make, I'm pulling this number out of the sky, but we'll make $1,000 off the average new customer. So we're willing to spend $500 to get one, you know, and you can have those discussions. But I think a lot of, especially, you know, smaller banks don't tend to know that, right? The focus is more, let's appeal to the community and, you know, people will come.
Yeah. I had a bank client of ours just last week was talking about, because we all know that right now, Alana, you were talking about CDs, you know, there's so many banks are looking for those deposits and promotion and marketing of CDs is we did none of that for 2 or 3 years. My entire team says we didn't do a CD ad for 3 years, and now almost all are doing that. And that's great. But one of my bank clients last week was saying, well, you know, we're getting these, and because we've got the most competitive rate out there and we're getting those, but then we can't keep them. So they're putting, you know, or we can't get share of wallet, you know, into other products and those types of things. And I kind of wanted to say, well, yeah, but you went into this, a lot of you were talking about goals, you went into this that you just needed deposit money.
Yeah.
So that's different than we are trying to acquire new relationships. And those can be, I mean, hopefully they seem together to some degree, but, Dan, we've talked about the race to the bottom too, you know, with some of the competitors and competing over rate only versus relationship. Well, and Alana, back to your point, strategically from the beginning, which is it that you're after? Because if you just need the right now cash, then don't complain about it. If we drive a bunch of those to you, or are you trying to establish relationships, you know, and greater share of wallet? What is that? So, yeah. And I guess you guys, Alana, probably see a lot of that and have to kind of go, okay, let's pause and ask those questions first, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the foundational things. I mean, when we're talking about, again, the affiliate influencer piece, but this applies to any channel or any type of marketing that you're doing, is, again, we ask about audience, we ask about geo, we ask about acquisition costs, we ask about those end goals of, you know, when you look at kind of the funnel, each channel has a different role to play in that buyer journey, from awareness, knowing that you exist, to that consideration stage where I have a need. I know that I'm on the hunt for a product like this, making sure that you're part of that consideration set. But then after that, it's how the goal of the reverse funnel is, how do I create more and more brand advocates and customer advocates? And that's where you need to have a plan. If you've won that relationship, if you've won that account, and they are now banking with you or have a CD with you, what's your strategy to keep them engaged, create value for them, cross-sell them other products, and still be able to measure it?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, we started out, you start out with like, hey, let's put a few hundred dollars to a Google ad. And then you get all the way down this path of like all the things that go into, you know, considering going with the new bank. And there's definitely a lot to go into it, but if we step back for a second and think about like, it's actually not that hard to get started on a lot of the stuff. And one of the draws of digital is just how easy it is to get started. But as easy as it is, it's also easy to just spend money that's not going to work. I think before we hit record, Chris, you were saying, you know, there's that example of dropping $500 on Google ads and saying, well, that didn't work, so digital ads don't work for us. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it, and that's why tracking is so important, because you just don't know. And it's easy if you've got a exec team or a board that's not, you know, hasn't done a lot of digital marketing, then it can be easy for them to just see the money going out and not understand how that translates, or think, well, you know, I had a bank tell me once, like, well, we make most of our bottom line comes from, you know, commercial loans. And so, you know, ads aren't going to get us commercial loans. And that might be true, but you need the deposits to like fund the loans. Right. So it's all part of, you know, it's all part of the bigger ecosystem.
Yeah. Alana, you mentioned and touched this a little bit earlier, but around finding the right partners. Okay. So you guys work so much in the affiliate and tech space and all of that. So if Dan and I are a bank and we're like, okay, we're in, we know we need to go this direction in the digital ad world, right? So we've got our IT or our agency partners lined up to create the landing pages that we needed. We've got the strategy in place, all of that. So, you know, going in, how do we select the right partners, you know, or how do we venture into that? Because especially if it's a small, you know, $250 million in an asset bank and they don't have a marketing department, you know, they have part of my team, you know, and that's their marketing department. And so they know they can't take the time to figure all of this out as part of the plan and find the right partners to both strategize and implement for it. So how do you guys kind of provide that guidance?
What do you mean by finding the right partner? Do you mean it like an external agency or an external resource?
Yes, it can be that. But also, you know, if, hey, we think affiliates are a great way to go and all of that, how do we
make
look for
happen
and set that up right from the bank perspective?
Okay. So I'd say first and foremost, having an internal stakeholder that can own this is really important. So oftentimes you're right. It's at the smallest scale, what we've seen is, you know, a branch teller or branch manager, part of their function is marketing. Ideally, there's somebody internally that can act as the conduit. There's going to be a sponsor probably at the leadership level that's holding them accountable, but we would really struggle to do what we do well if we didn't have someone internally that could own the relationship. Sometimes it could be business line heads. We've worked with kind of the owner of the mortgage line of business, and they have a big motivation internally. And, you know, marketing in general is almost like the different heads of the departments or the internal clients, if you will, and they're looking to marketing as a support. And so I'd say that's first thing is you kind of need to figure out who owns what and what are their responsibilities and what are they being held accountable to? And then you need to look at, we often suggest kind of doing a bit of a gap analysis and what are the skill sets internally. So is there an IT person that understands analytics or digital? If there isn't, probably first thing that you're going to need to backfill. Is there someone that is owning the brand and understands key messaging, pillars, mission statements, and what are the understanding the kind of do's and don'ts of how to market the brand? And then, because it is, a lot of times financial institutions, they say, when we've heard this, they don't see themselves as a brand, but they are. And that's what's seen front and center. And then the next thing is, okay, they're a brand and the service they provide is banking services. And then I'd say, looking at realistically what the team's capacity is and what their end, again, going back to the goal, what are they really looking to achieve? Because if, you know, they see this shiny, amazing agency, let's say, but they charge a massive amount of money, they don't really understand their market or their niche, then it may not be a fit. It has to align with the goal. So once you define kind of your pain points and your problems, what the gaps are in your capabilities internally that you're looking to backfill, and then what specifically your needs are, then it's a lot easier to find a resource. And as an example, on the affiliate side specifically, a lot of times we get, you know, inbound interest that says, hey, my board wants to know why we're not on Bankrate. How do we get to be on Bankrate? Like, that's what they want. And we have a frank conversation with them and say, A, it's really expensive. B, Bankrate's mission and how they build their business is by recommending products that they know their audiences are going to engage with. And there's certain minimum criteria for them to be willing to work with a brand. A lot of it comes down to monthly spend commitments, but it also comes down to what is that digital journey? You know, they don't want to be sending their traffic off to something that's going to be really frictionless for them. So when we say, okay, if your goal is to, you know, get exposure to audiences seeking these products, there's actually thousands of other sites you might be a great fit for. And if you're a lot more localized, maybe it's something that we can look at help facilitating and experimenting. You know, usually it's, you know, the brands are going to, or the marketers at the financial institutions, we often hear like, oh, I've outreached to NerdWallet. I've written to their media team and I've tried to go direct. And, you know, these guys are busy. It's not always easy. It's hard to find them, but then it's hard to get in contact with them and get their attention. So all of those things make it a little bit more difficult. And if that really is a goal, then you kind of got to be scrappy or go to a resource that does this and is experienced with it.
What about for a bank that's further along, you know, so that was kind of the starter bank, right? Or banks thinking about some of these things. But what about the bank that's further along that's doing a lot of advertising, trying to raise their digital presence? What's the best way to think about, you know, I'll give you an example. Like we work with one bank that does a lot of digital advertising, and they're very focused on conversion rate, but they, you know, they're relying a lot on like Facebook's reports and, you know, Google's reports. How do you think about like the tracking and performance reporting that you're doing? Like, how do you think about, moving your digital program forward if you want to get a little bit more specific and you know, really focus on ROI more than what the platforms give you directly?
It's about finding a way to pass that data into those third-party systems. And it's we try and suggest mapping it at a journey level. So if you're running Facebook campaigns, being able to say that someone who saw a particular ad, clicked through on that ad to a landing page, hit apply, and then submitted, there needs to be something that kind of follows that journey all the way through to the point at which they've submitted and been approved for the account. Not every system is going to enable that. I can't tell you how many conversations we have where they say, I work with so-and-so account opening, my core provider, I use their account opening. And it wasn't built to, a lot of these systems weren't necessarily built to support this level of tracking. And only now are they starting to invest, and especially because we're beating on their door saying, you need to do this to your clients. If you want more volume in the funnel, you need to enable it. I mean, if anyone who's listening is out there, and I've had this conversation with them, I'm sorry for being so annoying, but we're very passionate about it. And it starts with, a quick way to start looking at it, we suggest is, do they support, most often these systems support a promo code. It's not ideal for us because everything we suggest doing is dynamic. You want to be able to track like a lot of data points, not just a static ID. And it's a lot of heavy lifting to have to create a whole bunch of static identifiers. But there's a lot of times ways that you can embed that in the URL string with that identifier, and that can get stored in the promo code. That's at least a starting point. So now you know, okay, they came from this campaign and from Facebook. You lose out on a little bit more of the granular detail, but it's at least a start. So ask your third-party providers, do you support promo codes? Because maybe that's a great way to start. And then you can pull reports either out of that third-party system or if it's been passed on to the core, out of the core. And it's asking the question, if you know you don't have access to that level of data and it's someone else within the business, make buddy-buddy with them and see if they can pull those reports for you. I don't know if that helps.
No, that's interesting to break down of it. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot of banks that will do, I remember, a special CD term or a, you know, certain, like an 800 number that's only, you know, used in one place to kind of track. And, you know, so there's some of those tricks, and this is kind of the digital way of tracking it. And I think that's, and one of the banks we work with worked hard on their digital account opening company to let them put a promo code in the URL. And, you know, we were able to get some of that information out. And then and the other thing, the other extension of that you mentioned earlier was then looking 6 months down the line and seeing what those customers are doing. How do you approach that problem? And that goes beyond just the tracking tag following them around, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's when we look at optimizing our affiliate partnerships. We start with like a default acquisition cost. Let's say $100 for a new checking or CD account. But if you can see 6 months down the road that this particular partner is delivering these accounts that are really worth a lot in terms of relationship, not deposit volume necessarily, but in what they're doing, why wouldn't you then incent that publisher to do more? Maybe instead you do newsletters with them and you get kind of like exclusive promotions or features. And the more that they have to work with from a budget standpoint, the more invested they're going to be in wanting to promote the products. And if they seem to be creating value for their audiences, it's a win-win-win. Looking at that long-term value and just having to ask the question. The data, hopefully, to some degree is there. And sometimes it's about guessing and making sometimes logical leaps if that the piece isn't there to connect the dots. Mm-hmm. That's what I said about laying the puzzle pieces out. Look really practically, what do you have access to? And can you make something of that to start? And then that helps you build a business case for leadership to say, I need this, because then I'm going to be able to prove to you even better that what you're spending through this department is actually making a material difference.
And I think you hit on a, you know, acquisition costs. I mean, part of it is just making sure you're spending enough, right? The good thing about digital is that you don't have to go in with, you know, 100K a month in digital budget, but, you know, we're talking about big decisions, right? And that are worth a lot to the bank. So you may have to spend a couple hundred dollars per customer. And if you start out with like $1,000, you know, in a month, you may not see any results at all. Even if your acquisition cost is 100, 200, you may need to spend a little bit more to just start seeing some performance, and then have enough to prove good ROI. And, you know, and then you grow from there as you see the ROI. And, you know, but if you're not tracking it at all, it's just easy. It's so easy for, you know, leadership to see that line item going out the door. Mm-hmm. How do you, I mean, do you have a sense of like, and it's going to vary a lot from bank to bank, but just, you know, the, let's call it like under the billion-ish range or under, what acquisition costs they can be thinking of for new deposits? Like, how do they think about setting a budget and getting started?
Yeah. We had a client once that came to us and they were optimizing their paid search campaigns to an app start click, because beyond that, they couldn't map what was happening. But they figured out at the end that at least they had X amount of accounts, and they realized the clicks that they were spending to hit that app apply now button backed out into about $200, $250. And we said, you should be paying for an actual account should be in the $100 range. When we look at, I'd say the affiliate kind of mindset is a great one to use, because they're so discerning about what products they promote. And so this logic could, in theory, be applied to other channels. But the three core variables that impact performance is how, number one, how attractive or interesting is the product, and how relevant is it to that audience? So is someone actually going to want to click or be interested in the product? It doesn't necessarily have to just be about rate or offer, but it could be however it's being packaged that really addresses a need that that audience has. Number two, what does that journey look like to convert? So if you have a leaky funnel, not great, and you want to fix that before you actually put anything into it. And then the third piece is that acquisition cost. So if the first two are really strong, you're going to get away with a lot less acquisition cost, because you're going to get a lot more conversions and a better conversion rate, versus if these two, no matter how much you spend to try and acquire a customer, if you don't have a great product offering and the journey isn't great, zero times $1 million is still zero. So those are the things that we typically look at. So, you know, going back to your question on average spend, like we have some, you know, fintech partners that are acquiring new deposit accounts for, let's say, their, a secured card that helps them build credit. They might spend $30 to $40 to acquire that account on average, whereas kind of we recommend as a starting point for a checking account, between $75 to $100. Richer CDs were the barrier to be approved for the account. So the eligibility criteria, let's say, is a minimum deposit of $10,000. Usually that's the $200 CPA mark. So there's a lot of different variables that go into it. And it's experimentation, you know, especially in the context of the affiliates. Some big affiliates require more just because they know that they have the market share. Others that are a little bit smaller and more scrappier might be willing to experiment with less. But it's, again, it comes back to that ratio of, you know, they know how much these banks are making off of a high ticket CD account. You're going to have to spend more than probably what you would for just a day-to-day checking account.
Yeah. I start nerding out on some of the stats and the technical processes. So thanks for indulging me.
Yeah. Well, Alana, what I think you have lined out for us is useful for a wide range of banks, you know, that maybe listening to this show, they can kind of plug in anywhere along that spectrum, and whether they're new to it or trying to accelerate. And as you were just describing, not just get warm bodies, but qualified leads, you know, and those type of things through their digital ad products and then through the application products. Because I know a lot of those that are, as you just described, is they're running into a roadblock there at the app button, and then they're losing tracking, you know, after that. And we tell our job as the way that we're structured is to put butts in the seats And if you cook them a crappy hamburger, my job is not to be in your kitchen. So once you get on the other side of that application process, you know, then that is not the agency's element. That is yours. But I love what you're saying is the whole system, you know, for the river to keep flowing, the whole system, you know, needs to work well and for it to be measurable for ROI all the way top to bottom. So I love that. It's not rocket science, right? But it takes a lot to apply that entire process. So, yeah.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming to start. But again, that's why I say, to your point, lay it all out and just start to tease it out. What do I have? What don't I have? Where's the baby step that I can make that first? Once you're in it, it becomes a lot. Once you're heading downstream in the river, it's not as scary, but it's getting in, it's jumping into it. That first anticipation can be overwhelming. You're right. Yeah.
And it's one of the pillars that Dan and I stand on all the time is it's got to start with that strategic thinking and strategic planning. And then, you know, then we move into implementation and production and all of that.
So, yeah. Do you have room on that pillar for me?
Yeah. Yes.
Digital ads are not gonna save your bank or double the size of your bank, but they're there to, you know, all the stuff we've been talking about today is there to support the business goals that you have, right? It starts with those, and then you say, like, how do digital ads, how does marketing, how does tracking, how does affiliate, all this stuff, how does that support the business goals of the bank? And if you do that top down process, that's where we see the most success. I'm sure you do too.
Yeah,
definitely.
Great stuff. Well, as you know, too, Alana, we have a lightning round for our guests on the show here as well. So we'll throw you in the river here with the lightning round and see how you do. So, Dan, you want to run her through some of these?
Yeah, let's do it. The first one: can you share a personal or a business best, something great that's happened to you?
Sure. I'd say personal best, which, speaking of courage, it was skiing off Couloirs Extreme in Whistler. So Double Black Diamond in Whistler was terrifying. To this day, I don't know what possibly possessed me to do that, but it was a very proud moment.
Well, and I think for the
business,
so.
Yeah, I'm still here to tell the tale. And business was raising our first round last year with Bank Tech Ventures, which was even more rewarding. So being part of Bank Tech has been awesome.
Yeah, heard great things from a lot of different companies involved with that and the ICBA Accelerator.
Yeah.
How about favorite book or other resource?
I come back to this book quite a bit. It's a book called, and I think the marketers and salespeople on the line will probably hopefully enjoy it, maybe have read it. It's called Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely. Predictably Irrational. I studied, my background's in psychology and economics. How I ended up in marketing, I don't know, but it's actually the perfect kind of blend of the psyche of people's decision-making and incorporating it with sales and marketing. So I think it's a great read. And it's fun.
Great. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
What is the most impactful piece of advice you've ever received?
Yeah, I'd say... And this is personal as well as business. I have a tendency to, and we actually, it's funny, we talked about this, about trying to kind of boil the ocean and making a difference. I'd say focus on what you can control and not what you can't. It's like when you focus on your locus of control internally, it allows you to influence the things and make the difference that you want and not get hung up on things that you really want to change, but you have no business kind of like influencing, or you probably won't have any success doing. So that's, I think, probably the best piece of advice. And that goes with my relationship with family, friends, business, clients.
Irrational customers.
Yes.
Flipping that around, what's something you always tell your team? What's the piece of advice you always give your team or your clients?
Yeah. I'd say this is a bit altruistic, so bear with me here, but and this is something why I've stuck around working with our CEO as long as I have. It's been almost 11 years now. Is that when you focus on contribution and creating value, great things happen. And so a lot of times, like when staff members are nervous about presenting, or, you know, clients also when they have to present to their leadership team, is remember that these people aren't any smarter than you. And if you just look at it as, if they can take away one thing that's of value, I've done my job. And that's anytime I get up on stage or anytime I have these types of conversations, I just remember it's, if you come from a place of wanting to create value, then somebody somewhere might get something out of it. And then you've done your part.
And you're being of service. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great way to think about it. Well, last one, and this is we saved the softball for the end. But if people are interested in tracking in affiliate, and they should be, how can people get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, I mean, really anything. It's feel free to share my email, find me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm not on Twitter that often, but I will find you if you do reach out to me. Ask Dan or Chris. I'm sure they'd be happy to pass on my details. So. Maybe carrier pigeon won't work. Anything else, really. We're digital folks, so anywhere digital, you can find me.
All right, and we'll link up some of that stuff in the show notes also. And
perfect.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I think this has been great. We've kind of talked high-level stuff, in-the-weed stuff, and I think to your advice, to your team, like I think you've definitely left a lot of valuable things for people to take away from here. So appreciate you being on the show. It's been great talking to you.
It's been such a pleasure, both of you. Thank you. I had a lot of fun.
So glad. And we look forward to running into you at some of the various conferences and intersecting in the industry. So thanks so much for spending time with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts, and join us next time.